Expressed in our talk shows are not necessarily those of the staff, management, or ownership of WGCH Radio.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Defy and Hustle Radio. I am Noreen Ehrlich, and I'm really honored to be with you this evening. And tonight, I am going to do the show. I'm here in the station right now with the station. What is your title here, Bob?
Operations manager.
Operations manager, but yeah. You are all things to the station, correct?
Okay.
Okay, so this is Bob Small I'm talking with. But tonight, I'm going to talk with you, the audience, and I am going to just give you a message for the month of October. So we're going into October, and it's already shaking. If you look at the newspapers and what's going on in the news, and it's really shaking things to our very core. There really is some sort of radical reorganization that's taking place. Businesses that are out of integrity are starting to fall apart. Politics is really shifting nations in the way they think. Institutions that we know are starting to collapse under pressure of being out of integrity. And sometimes if you pay too much attention to the news or things that are going on externally, especially during this month of October, where I do anticipate that the news will get even crazier when you consider that there's a potential, that there's an impeachment going on with our president here in the United States and what's going on abroad as well with the UK and the Ukraine, we can really feel very challenged and uncomfortable. And this has been going on for a long time now, where the news can seem very dreary, or our lives could be going in different directions where people are getting triggered very easily. Where we can't, for example, people can't speak at campuses because they don't like the message anymore. And so I think people don't know, in some cases, we don't often feel like we are relaxed anymore. There's a general feeling of weariness and potentially being off balance. So I do think that October will bring more of this potential to be off balance personally. Now, if you really look at October, we're in October of 2019, so we are going into the last quarter of 2019, and each year, the last quarter of the year brings a lot of opportunities for us. But this particular year is unique because it is also the end of a decade, and we are going into a new decade that brings to us opportunities to really decide what it is we want for our lives. What do we want to be going forward? What do we want to have? What do we want to do with our lives going forward? So October brings a time frame starting about now and going through right before the holidays in December, where we can start to decide what we want for 2020. But we can also take the time to close up any unfinished business we have pending in 2019. Now, so I wanted to make a few points. The first point was about the I'll make 5 points tonight, as a matter of fact. And the first one was about the month of October, which I do anticipate will continue to be crazier and crazier. But the blessing, the opportunity inside of this shakeup that's going on around us, something I refer to as the shift, there's an opportunity and almost a requirement for us to ground ourselves. And I have clients that are calling me. I think I even mentioned it when I was on the air with my guest 2 weeks ago. And I'm trying to remind them to get centered again because they are – maybe their relationships suddenly went from one extreme to another and they were caught off guard by it, or their businesses where they lost a large client and they were caught off guard by it. And what I'm – I, of course, say many things to them, but what I'm trying to teach people and what I think the overarching message is for us today is we need to really focus on how to stay centered despite what might be going on around us, like the eye of a hurricane. So we individually are not going to look at the people around us and get upset about it, look externally, right? So look at our spouse, look at our employer, look at the president, and be upset. It's not that we're not upset at all, but it's our responsibility to ground ourselves and to practice staying centered so that we don't get thrown off emotionally each time something happens. So that requires us staying observant of our thought patterns, even as somebody does something that upsets us. So when you're going to ground yourself, you really have to stay very conscious of the thoughts that are coming in, because we humans, we're actually pretty simple. We don't really learn a lot proactively. Typically, we didn't learn a lot proactively. In order to break a pattern, we usually run in patterns. We do the same thing over and over again, even if it's hurting us. So we attract the same type of partner, for example, in relationships. You want to say something, Bob?
No.
Okay.
Sorry.
And or we keep using, let's say you're spending our money frivolously or addictive types of behaviors. And we don't normally break that pattern until we suffer so badly, so painfully, that we are finally forced to examine things a little differently. And so we become more aware of our own patterns when we're in pain, typically, and that's the time we break our patterns. But now we're coming to a time where we can start to catch ourselves before we go down the same road again. And when we catch ourselves starting to react to something and it's starting to get us upset, it becomes our obligation to not blame that other person. And I'm not saying that other person would necessarily be doing the right thing, but it's like time for us to stop hurting ourselves and getting ourselves upset. So even if somebody's doing something to you, you are actually catching yourself as you start to get that emotional trigger, the one that starts to shake you around, and you watch the thoughts that are coming in. And they can come in quick when you're upset, right? You get triggered. I think last week, Bob, we were talking about like somebody on the road cuts you off and you just get upset, right? You get this trigger. But now we can start to slow down and catch ourselves, and as these thoughts come up of anger or frustration or disappointment, and it's our responsibility to say to ourselves, do I want to buy into these thoughts? Because if I start to buy in each time to thoughts of anger or disappointment or fear, this is going to take me downward from the place I just was, which was feeling pretty good. So it takes a little practice. It takes a lot of practice in many cases for those highly ingrained patterns that might be there that are really built into our DNA from centuries and decades of our ancestors really having to try and survive. But now we're at a time that I refer to as the shift where we are capable of staying conscious and staying aware as we get triggered by somebody else and stepping back from it as best we can and watch as those thoughts start to flood in that you're a schmuck and you do this every time and you never listen to me or whatever comes up or, you know, the president's this or my boss is that. And we slow down and we find our center. So why are we doing this? It's because we don't want to hurt ourselves anymore. And we are responsible for ourselves. And when we stay centered, when we stay centered and we don't start buying into our own stories of victimhood and how we're so put upon, we actually stop a negative chain that we would put into effect of maybe going out and drinking too much or taking it out on somebody or complaining to our coworker. And this is like emotional pollution in our world. So it's not only when you're staying grounded, when you're staying centered, it's a responsibility to yourself. If you love yourself, this is part of what when people hear it's very cliche, self-love, but it is, don't hurt yourself anymore because it hurts your body and it hurts the community around you and your immediate family and those people who love you when you start to come apart and fall into a negative spiral. So October brings with it both the shakeup that's going on around us that we'll see externally, and we're going to feel shaken up, but it is also our opportunity to see this as a time for practice of staying grounded and staying centered and really getting in touch with, it's called presence, but really getting in touch with that voice within that's quiet, that is not always focused on the future or the past. It's something that's more conscious, that's higher, that's stopping us from getting caught up in a story that would scare us about the future or make us upset about something in the past and really have us center in our presence so that we can keep our minds clear to know what actions to take next. So if your boss is upsetting you or your spouse is upsetting you, you can now stay quiet and react or respond. I would rather use the word respond, responsible. You have the ability to respond. You're responsible for yourself. And now you can communicate with the people around you from a healthier place versus falling into a negative story about how somebody else has harmed you and you're the victim and you have the right now to tell that person off or be angry with them or have possibly a passive-aggressive stance. So this is a time to understand that the life force, if you understand this, and to remind yourself that the life force really does have your back and it's always introducing to you healthy situations that would have you learn to become more of an adult, learn to become somebody who has good character and will be a positive addition to the community. And so we really, at this time in October, will watch ourselves and we can watch it in the people around us and forgive them as they may fall into their own stories of how they're put upon and things are, somebody's abusing them or doing this. Again, it may be the case, and I'm not excusing that, if you're in a relationship that's abusive or disappointing in some way, there may be something that needs to be said, but that is something that you would have to take the time in that moment to consider versus reacting. So you're being responding. You're responsible for yourself. You're responding appropriately versus reacting, which many of us do. So in that number two of staying centered and really practicing trusting life more and looking a little further inside yourself for a healthy response, you're going to remember, I can either believe these thoughts that I have or question them. I can watch the thoughts that come in, and we all do it, and I'm not above this by any means. I have definitely a lot of things that trigger me. But I do notice that I've been practicing this for a long time, and it takes time to break the chain, So you have to practice. I am either going to believe these thoughts that are coming in, or I am going to question them. Is this really true? That Bob is not listening to me, for example, or that Bob's making a face, or that my boss always picks somebody else over me, or that my husband doesn't think I'm smart, or that, like whatever, Donald Trump is just an idiot or something like that. It's really catching it and saying, is that really true? And that leaves at least a little space to consider whether another thought might be even truer than that. That would be healthier. So that was number two. And
oh, I'm all fixed now.
You are fixed now?
Yeah.
Bob's over there like, okay, she's talking about different things tonight. Well, did that make any sense, Bob?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
We were talking, can I say what we were talking about before we came on the show tonight?
What were we talking about?
We were talking about that you belong to a church, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I was talking, one of the things I was talking about was younger families or younger people in general are joining churches anymore, or whether it was thinning out a little bit.
I'd say, yeah, we're seeing some thinning out. But I think all the churches in the area are.
I think it's just.
And,
What do you think it is?
It's, I guess, a cycle. Because I got to admit, when I was a younger person, this was happening. And the church is rebuilt. And people still like to go to church.
Do you think that there's – so now I was telling you before we were talking about church that I was brought up my parents are – my mom's Irish, my father's Italian, so I was brought up Catholic. And then when I was married, I was converted to Judaism, Reform Judaism. And so I don't know that I was actively practicing so much of it, but I'm definitely observant of all of it. And then I lived in India, and there was Hinduism over there. I worked in Japan. So I saw a lot of different things, and I just sort of – so I'm not against any religion, but I just sort of get connected to maybe principles of how to live in a way that's fun. I'm leaving the fun part out of it tonight, but that keeps you where you can just flow through life without all the suffering.
And well, so that's the fun, I think, that you're allowing yourself to be available for fun if you're not looking upon yourself as a victim all the time.
Right, and judging other people negatively.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, and then I do think when people talk about forgiveness, which I don't mean to make it all such heavy topics, but it is once you realize what's happening and that it's happening to all of us, that we're all under this sort of spell of projecting our stuff onto somebody else. When you catch yourself judging somebody else, watch, because it is in order for you to see it in somebody else, it has to also be a part of you. So when you see yourself attacking somebody else, you could also start to understand that's probably something that's true for you in some way as well. And so then you can be more forgiving of the people around you. I don't know. Do you want to go to commercial for a moment and then we'll come back?
I love that idea.
Okay. All right, folks. This is Noreen Ehrlich and this is Defy and Hustle, and we'll be back in just a moment.
Good evening. We've got heavy traffic south on the Connecticut Turnpike from exit 3 down towards the state line, northbound 25-minute ride. From the state line up to Route 7, northbound Merritt Parkway with a 26-minute trip from Greenwich up to Norwalk. A girl in Kenya dreams of becoming a doctor. An elder in Guatemala dreams of being part of a community. Reach out, change their world, and we'll change your own. Unbound.org. I'm Jay Trelace in the 1490 Traffic Center.
From the WGCH Weather Center.
Evening rain showers, then mostly cloudy, turning much cooler tonight. Lows 46 to 52. Scattered showers tomorrow, more widespread late in the day. Highs only in the mid-50s. Rain and showers ending late tomorrow night, 45 to 50, and becoming mostly sunny, breezy, low 60s Friday. Celebrate the 57th year of James Bond Day at UK Gourmet now until Sunday. Dress as your favorite Bond character. Enjoy some thrilling samples. UKG.life. I'm meteorologist Ryan Gallagher on 1490 WGCH.
What if I told you I could change your life in just 100 days? This is Noreen Ehrlich from Defy and Hustle Radio. I'm an executive coach based in Greenwich, Connecticut. For over two decades, I worked as a CFO and leader in Wall Street's fast-paced private equity industry. I helped guide teams of professionals to improve their careers, grow their businesses, and still maintain work-life balance. Based on this know-how and my unique understanding of life's principles, I created a 100-day plan that will unquestionably up-level your life. Make 2019 your year. You can and deserve to have it all. Don't wait. Take advantage of my free 50-minute consultation by visiting my website at NoreenEhrlich.com or calling me at 475-333-2173.
Hi, everybody. This is Noreen Ehrlich, and welcome back to Defy and Hustle Radio. Tonight, I guess I'm coaching the audience a little bit, but I hope the message, if you remember one thing that helps your life to be a little bit better each day, which is really all I hope for, then I think this is a worthwhile message. But it was something when I didn't have a guest. I just got back from a trip, a week-long trip, so I didn't have a guest tonight, and I just felt like I was supposed to talk to the audience about really how it's your requirement, really. It's your necessity to stay centered for your own good and for that of the people around you. And then October, and I just see the rest of the year being so shaky with everything that's going on around us, that I really want people to not become afraid. And so in that not becoming afraid, it is stopping and slowing down and catching yourself as you start to become afraid or have fearful thoughts about if the economy shakes up, for example, that you're going to lose all your money or this and that. Because I do think when you stay centered, you don't attract to you situations that would make it worse. So there's an ability to flow through life. So I was talking about five things, and one idea that came to me was to talk to you about the month of October and to really think about what the next decade might look like for you. But really, if you want to zero that down, you could start right now to think about what your life might look like by the end of 2020. And then we talked about getting centered. So the third thing I want to talk to you about is something that I'll describe as seeing the big picture of what is going to happen for you in 2020 and beyond. And so this is a change of season as we move into fall. And we really do want to see the big picture instead of just floating through life day by day and doing the same things that we always do, unless they make you very happy. For those things that maybe you have been putting off doing. Maybe there's a new job that you want and you're staying at your old job just because you're afraid or you're just not sure yet. This may be a good time to commit to not doing anything without planning for it a bit and being ready for it. Certainly you wouldn't do something before you were ready for it, but to at least consider, what is it that I want differently in my life going into 2020? So if something's not working for you, you may want to let it go. And that could be a job or it could be a relationship that's not working for you, or it could be moving to a different city to get started. So it could be managing your time and your money more intelligently. We are also being called to simplify our lives because time and money seem to, those are the resources we have, time, money, and the energy that we wake up with in the morning. And because it seems like, and I think, Bob, we were even talking about this before the show, that it doesn't seem like there's any time. The days are blasting by so quickly.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Right? And it's like you look back over the day and you go, what did I even do today? It just went by so quickly. But I do think that it's requiring us to understand what we value and slow down and say, these are the few things that are important to me. My relationship's important to me. My job's important to me. Maybe this hobby that I like, I play the piano, that's important to me. I like to sail. And then, you know, maybe getting some rest. And so now you're going to say, I'm going to focus on those areas of my life, and maybe I can let go of some other fees that are hitting my credit card for things that I'm never using, like maybe gym charges or anything that we're all thought we were going to get to when we're in an optimistic mood. But now we can start to slow down and choose what it is we'll focus our lives on. I do think that there's a call for simplification, and there is a call to write your new life story. So what will 2020 look like for you around your career, around your relationships with your children, with your family, with your community, and with your coworkers and your work relationships, and also your time and money? Also to look at your health and fitness and consider whether you are taking care of your body and whether you are fit. And by fit, that means taking another good look at what you're eating, what you're drinking, and saying, is this really going to serve my body, which is the only thing I have at the end of the day and really ought to be your priority? And at the end of the day, just really taking care of yourself. So
I have a question.
Okay.
So if we're looking out to 2020, that's looking to the future.
Yes.
And it strikes me that I really want to stay anchored in the present.
Correct.
So how do I reconcile those two things?
So it's important to stay anchored in the present.
Yeah.
That said, it's also important to have some intentions for your life, because if you have intentions for your life, if you have, and it's good to catch it, collect it on paper or put it into a vision or write down the ideas and get them out of your head, you don't want to stay focused in the future if it's going to make you anxious, but you set the intention that I want to have a home and I want to have a partner and I want to have a business that's a thriving business, and you can even set financial targets for your business, or I want to move into a new target market. So you want to have these intentions so that you can use your time and your money and your energy to focus there. And also the life force, I believe, when you tune into it and you say, I want these things, I am the woman, I am the man who has these things, then the life force knows how to guide you. Don't doubt that our technology is built upon something I believe is unseen. You go into your car and you put, I'd like to go to Boston, in your car, and it says, you are here, I want to get here, I want to go to Boston. So the guidance system in your car says, okay, go out and start to make a turn here. Now you have a destination in mind, and if you're tuned in to yourself, if you're present, you'll get nudges, you'll get messages, you'll understand what actions to take. We're coming out of a period a very driven period where we thought just hard work, hard work, hard work all the time. And there is truth to it. When you want something big in life, you probably will have to work hard. But now we're going into a time where we can trust ourselves that if we set the intention to do something and take the actions required, at the time that those opportunities are presented to us, that we don't have to sit there and control it. And when so, to answer your question more clearly, if you stay focused on the future, if that starts to make you feel like you have to control everything to get there, and that makes you anxious, then you're going to be anxious. And so you want to get to your destination with some ease and some grace, and that is by looking out into the future. Unquestionably, if you set the intention to have something, inevitably, if you go in that direction, you will get there. But you don't have to feel like you have to control it every single second of every single day, or that it won't, or it won't happen. You can take the actions that are introduced to you.
It just strikes me that this is the essence of what you're really talking about, is being able to distinguish that point when looking at the future is something you need to let go of a little bit.
Yes.
So that you can stay anchored in the present.
Yes.
It's understanding where that balance point is for each individual.
So when I coach people and I coach them, this is where you are, this is where you want to be. And they'll tell me where they want to be,
right?
Because I basically trick them into telling me where they want to be.
No, you don't do that.
Well, because we get such a we have all these, they're very cliche, but limiting beliefs about what's possible for us. People stay locked in. I can't leave my job because then I won't have any money, and I don't have the capital to start the business, and I can't move to the new city because I don't have the money. It's usually I don't have the money that's stopping it. But if I ask them, you look great. What is going on with you? What has happened to you? Everything's fantastic. You look fantastic. Tell me what's going on. People will start to tell me. My job, I quit my job. I started a new business. It's a business around health and fitness. Now I'm teaching people yoga, and I'm holding events. And everything went very smoothly. I'll ask them, how did you leave the job? You were worried about losing the money and your boss getting upset. And they'll explain to you exactly how it happened. Because when I push them out into the future and just tell them to pretend they met me on the street and tell me why everything's going so great, they'll tell me they've got a new house, they're in love, blah, blah, blah. And now you find out what they really want. But you have to get people outside of their limiting beliefs and get them to see what they really want. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, did that answer some of the question?
Yeah.
And so you have to have some intentions for your future. You can absolutely have whatever you want, but you have to start to take steps in that direction. And life can only deliver it to you when you're ready for something. So it's not going to deliver, you know, if you're just starting a business, depending on who you are, it's generally not going to deliver like a zillion clients to you immediately, and because you wouldn't be able to handle it. So it delivers to you what you're ready to handle, and it also delivers the lessons you need to have to build something up so that you build your foundation and you build your strength emotionally, physically, mentally, and spiritually. So when you have – I'm going to go on to – so number three was seeing the big picture. Number four is about self-mastery and being very good to yourself and others. So I do think that the month of October is really calling for us to take some charge of understanding that there is something bigger out there that's guiding us, and to stop with the victimhood, to really look at the – issues that come up that get you upset as opportunities to master your emotions. This is the next frontier. This is the area that we next need to strengthen ourselves in. And this requires some sense of self-awareness about our own patterns we can look at the people around us. It may require getting rid of toxic situations in our lives, which you can either leave that situation if that's possible. But if you're in that situation currently and you can't just up and leave, like if you're in a bar or something like that, and it's not where you want to be, you can always leave the bar. But if you're in a relationship with somebody or a marriage with somebody and it's toxic, you can't get up and leave. But at least what you can do in the short run is accept it. Try to just accept, all right, this is where I am, and start to make some plans for what you can do to start to step out of that situation, but not to constantly fight in your mind with what is happening currently. You don't want to constantly be fighting with reality. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So you to wake up each day and complain about the president, it just seems a little, it just seems like something that's only upsetting you each day. You could stop and figure out, what am I learning or what can I do about it? But to be upset about the same thing over and over and over again and not choose a different approach to it is only, it's a self-defeating pattern. So you want to hold yourself accountable. We're coming into a time of accountability. And so you're going to see a lot of institutions and people in those institutions. As all the darkness is getting dredged up to the surface where we can see it, people are going to be held accountable. But individually, we have to be accountable for our own self-awareness and choosing a state where we're not constantly judging other people. Now, there's a difference between judging someone else and observing them. So if somebody does something, you can tell if you're observing them, and you could have a truth that somebody is a little narcissistic, or somebody is not showing up for work on time or something like that. But that's an observation. If you have a lot of emotional energy attached to something where you think you're right and they're wrong, that's a judgment. So it's a time for us to be accountable for really cleaning up our own internal house and to use the people that come into our lives as mirrors to see what maybe we need to clean up some pattern inside of us, instead of always responding, again, projecting onto them and judging them. Let's see. So if you're in a relationship, and going into 2020, if you're in relationships, especially romantic relationships, but it's all relationship, it really is holding yourself with the intention to change those patterns that you may have had running in your relationships for the last 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 years, and to really say, you know something, I'm going to take responsibility for shifting this pattern to something at least neutral, so I don't respond each time by doing something passive aggressive or getting myself upset or attacking my partner and things like that. So that even our thoughts about relationships, we're coming out of such a decades of codependent relationships, and there really is a nice opportunity for us going forward to have loving relationships. They're called, my understanding, one way to describe them is called preferential relationships, and understanding that we're choosing to be in a relationship with this other person, and that it's our responsibility not to expect them to meet our needs, constantly. Of course, you're going to want them to meet some needs, otherwise you wouldn't want to be in the relationship with them, but you're not expecting them to carry you financially, emotionally, mentally, physically, that they're the ones that are carrying you. And if they do something out of line, you fall apart, or you attack them, and you start complaining to your friends or something like that, that this person's no good. This person may have, you may have to have a discussion with somebody, but now It's a preferential relationship because you are taking accountability to keep yourself in the highest and happiest place that you can be in each day. So if that means getting up and going and exercising, or maybe doing some meditation, or just catching your thoughts as you start to go into a downhill spiral around anything, even if it's not your partner, you are responsible for keeping yourself in the highest and happiest place you can be, and your partner also is responsible for that. In this way, you don't start attacking each other, judging and attacking each other when something starts to go wrong. It also puts you in a position to communicate differently, and instead of saying, you always do this, you never do that, or you're not listening to me, or you think I'm stupid, like the woman I talked about last week or something like that, you can say, you could approach it at the right timing and say, when you do that, it makes me, I start to feel this, right? I start to feel disappointed, like you don't care about me. Or when you talk to me that way, I feel like you think I'm stupid. So now the other person has some clue what's going on in your world. When you do this, you're not saying you're doing that and I'm entitled to be mad at you. You're saying when you do that, I start to get this feeling of abandonment or frustration or something. And now you could say, could you stop doing that? Or you could, at least you're still taking responsibility for your own emotions, but at least you could express to the other person where you stand before you start to repress it and not express it to the other person or attack the other person, or as many of us do, just repress it. And then it builds up in there. It keeps happening. We keep running the same pattern if we don't express it. And then the relationship blows up. Now in the preferential relationships, this is healthier. We're taking responsibility for our evolution within the relationships and being able to communicate with each other like adults. So it brings me to the number 5, which is accountability. So we're coming into an era of accountability for our thoughts. And what this is going to require is slowing down. And I'm somebody who dreams big dreams, but even I had to learn to not live so far into the future, as Bob was talking about, and put so much pressure on myself that I expect everything to happen too quickly. There is something that's something I was never very good with either, and it served me when I was a CFO, but I'm not always the most patient person. I like things to get done, and when I was working in New York City in the hedge fund world, things had to get done quickly. And so I'm not always patient with life. It took me a while to just sort of slow down and try and get into the flow, and very much still practicing, but not to expect that everything would happen right away. I have one client that he built up a business, and he's upset because he thought it would be worth millions by now, and he would have all these huge clients by now. And even his spouse is upset, his wife's upset, because she thought it would be worth millions right now. But generally speaking, it doesn't happen that quickly. It happens, it takes a long time to put, if you're building a small business, for those business owners out there, I'm sure they understand this, it takes some time, and you have to learn to be patient. You have to learn to be patient and understand that life is going to deliver it to you when you're ready to handle it. And so it is coming to you. And I told him, and I do a lot of other things, but it is coming to you. He has to take action. He has to go out there and create awareness around his business, because part of the reason the money is not coming to him is because he may have it in his mind that he has all these gigantic clients, but he's not going out there to really create the awareness around his business. But also understand that if big clients had come prior to this, he wouldn't have been able to handle the work because he's so swamped as it is. So you have to be accountable for your thoughts and catch yourself as you start to get triggered in situations. And my hope is that if you understand something larger, which is life has your back, that everything that's happening is happening to get you where you want to go, then you can stop and interpret the situation from a different perspective instead of, oh my God, why is this happening to me? And everything always, you know, something bad always happens to me and I'm never get ahead and I don't have the money and blah, blah, blah. Now you can catch yourself and look at it and say, why is this happening to me? But what could be, why could this be happening to me in light of what I want? So now you could look at the intentions you set for yourself for 2019 and for 2020. And now as you're starting to meet people, and it could be a positive experience or a negative one, whatever the case may be, you're going to say, I wonder why that person showed up in my life. I wonder why, you know, I went to this event in Atlanta that was all about digital marketing. Because life must, I felt compelled to go. I trusted it and I went to this event. I'm curious to see why I have a feeling I'll be really helping myself and my clients by really knowing digital marketing, for example. But I felt like I just wanted to go to this event. And so you're starting to look at why is this happening to me, even if it's your business falls apart or something like that. It's typically because something better is about to happen and you needed to either remove something from your life that wasn't working. So maybe your relationship fell apart or you know, whatever, the contractor didn't show up at your house that you expected. But it's because somebody better or some situation better is supposed to show up next. So you look at everything that's happening to you now, and instead of being furious about it, you go, I wonder why this is happening to me. More like, what is the blessing here? If I'm looking and I do feel like life has my back, and is this is the way you approach each day, that life has my back and it's my obligation to hold myself accountable for keeping that in my mind and staying present and trusting my own guidance, then you can go through life with a sense of peace and centeredness. Then you can go about building your business, having relationships, getting healthy, doing whatever you want, but you'll do so with a sense of flow that hopefully is better than anything you've experienced previously. So that is it, Bob. I hope that this had some message out there for people. And next week, I'll have a guest, so no more preaching next week. And then on the 30th of the month, I have on Jill Oberlander, who is running for first selectman of Greenwich. So I'm really looking forward to that.
Curious to hear what she has to say.
Yeah, and if any of this resonated with you, you could look at my website. It's defyandhustle.com, and I will be giving a 5-week online interactive course for those of you who like personal development and really want to make things happen in your life, but maybe haven't taken the steps you need to put something into action. It's a 5-week course to get you clear about what direction you want to go in 2020, and to start to get you to make a decision, to commit to the decision, start to pay attention as anything starts to come up, and then start to take action forward. So that is defyandhustle.com/fall-program.com, and you could check that out. Thank you very much for listening, folks.
We have a couple more minutes.
Oh, we do have a couple of more minutes?
And I thought maybe I'd tell you a quick little story.
Okay, good.
A show that I've enjoyed watching is called Grand Designs.
Grand Designs.
And it's an English created show about people who are building their own homes.
Okay.
And the homes are generally very artistically done, very interesting. Well, this is the first time this particular thing has happened. He visited, now he is the gentleman that that hosts the show.
Okay.
So he'll kind of guide you through what's happening. And some of the episodes span years. You know, he'll go to a couple who are going to build their home, and it'll be back in 2013, and they don't get it done until 2019.
Really?
And in the process, the husband has had cancer.
Oh, my God.
Had to recover from that and then went back to work on building the home. But this particular couple was – it comes to mind because of what you've been talking about.
Okay.
And he's in a wheelchair, first of all. And one of the things he's been complaining about quite a bit is how the home that they're in, which is not wheelchair accessible, it just doesn't work for him. And he wants to build a house that will work for him without looking like it's a hospital, you know.
Uh-huh.
And he's an engineer, but he's come up with a pretty good design and a plan. And he and the wife look like they're in this together until one scene pops up and they've decided they're going to become divorced.
Oh, my God.
And this is after she has agreed that she's going to be the foreman for the job while he continues to work. Otherwise, they don't have money coming in.
Right.
While they're trying to make this whole thing happen. Well, she's decided to stay on that job. Even though they're getting divorced, she's going to continue to help build this house for him and their kids.
Oh, my God.
And she does.
Oh,
and
my
it
God.
Takes a couple of years. And by the end of it, you can see when they interview her, the thing she's saying is, I just don't know how I'm doing this or even why, because she's that far away from the relationship now.
Really? But does she say why? Does she say, but I still...
No, that's the worst thing about it.
Sorry.
Because thinking about it in relation to what you've just been talking about, it would be wonderful to get a better understanding of what drove them apart to start with.
Right.
Because they were a couple that looked like they were really going to work as a team and build this house. And the house does get built, and it is gorgeous and very, very well made in the sense of allowing him in his wheelchair to get everywhere in the house, which he wasn't able to do in the previous house.
Well, it is interesting because I do think that more couples that are coming out of years of codependent relationships are learning to break up without that level of attack, right? Whether it's
yeah,
divorce.
Yeah, certainly that seemed to be what happened here.
Without that level of attack,
they both
that
said
used to justify.
They still love the other person.
Right.
And, you know, there's a lot of history there, and they're not ready to just throw that away.
Right.
But
you still love the person. You just don't
want
to be
live
with
together
the person
anymore.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. You don't want to be in that relationship anymore.
Yeah.
So we're coming out of that need to justify. Judge the other person and attack the other person in order to justify our reason for leaving. So despite all the craziness that's going on, there's a lot of positivity happening.
Yeah.
I apologize if I was ranting on today. I came in unprepared, but I hope there was a message in there for you that helps your day to improve. This is Noreen Ehrlich. That was Bob Small with a great story. And we'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
You're listening to the Voice of Greenwich, 1490 WGCH Greenwich.
Sentence, protests, deadly plane crash. I'm Barbara Cusack.
No justice, no peace, no justice.
The
no
white
peace,
former Dallas no police officer.